This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday. Beautiful day out there. Kev, would you like to introduce your new friends?
Well, they're not new friends, but I'll introduce my friends, Randy and Jason Sklar. What's up,
nice.
Boys?
Good to see you, boys.
So
good
the boys are you. In town. The Flyover Comedy Festival is happening like these next few days.
Yeah.
They're one of the headliners. So Patton Oswalt, Tig Notaro, and the two of these guys. These two guys are the, those are the three headlining acts. And you guys are, I forget where tonight, but I know at the Sheldon tomorrow, which is what I'm going to go see you guys.
Right. Tonight's at Hot Java, which is in the Grove, which we hadn't been down in that area, but very cool area. I imagine the Grove is probably what the Loop was like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Kind of looking at like really cool buildings, a nice
new
setup,
restaurants,
lots
bars.
Of good stuff down yeah. there, people hanging out. So that was cool. So Hot Java will be there tonight
at 10.
At 10.
Late show tonight.
Late show tonight. It's a show called Tag It, which you would love. You would love it too. Where
yeah.
basically comedians do their sets. While they're doing their sets, Jay and I are on stage writing little tags, which
I
are
love
little
it.
Jokes that then, when their set's over, we come on stage, come up to them and say, okay, I love this bit that you're doing. How? What about that? I'm going to pitch you my jokes.
Like our friend Irene, too, was doing a joke about how eventually when we run out of food on this planet, we're just going to have to eat babies.
Right.
And we're like, that's
sure.
That's a great joke.
Light
great
material.
Joke.
But now I'm like, then of course, when that happens, there will be like really high-end baby restaurants where you get to go and select your baby.
I'll take that one.
I'll take that one. The one he looks really, he's got a little meat on his bones. I'll take that one over there. And we started playing out this whole
nice.
Act out of
Japanese food. Babies are Kobe.
Japanese are Kobe. You don't have to cook mine, so I like mine very rare, very rare. It could be newly born.
You're like, I'm sorry, stuff. I never do this, but I have to send this baby back. It's
yeah,
just,
I hate, don't spit on it and then give me the same baby. Like, actually reheat it. So, like, all those jokes, we threw them all in. You get the game.
Yeah,
of course,
it's cool.
And it's so fun. So that's tonight. Tomorrow night, though, is, like, the biggest treat ever to come back and get to headline a big. You
yeah,
told us you just did that.
Yeah, I did a live comedy show at the Sheldon a few years ago, which felt insane.
Yeah.
Because, like, I do a fairly dirty show. You guys, everyone's grown up, right? You guys are going to
sure.
do the same
yeah.
thing. But just being on the hallowed stage of the Sheldon.
Like,
exactly it.
Like one of those jokes.
It's exactly it. You're waiting for the place to fall in or something. So I have selfish questions for you
sure,
guys.
Sure.
So I get the performance side.
Yeah.
We're all performers in the room.
Right.
Obviously, we write 4 hours a day of the show.
Sure.
But as far as being like comedy writers, you're talking about doing some work
yeah.
on Night Court, working with Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
That has always felt like the most pressure. Like, hey,
yeah.
here are these guys. They're really funny. Here's money. Sit down in a room.
Yeah.
Now produce. That's got to be so much pressure.
It is, but we love it. Like, Jay and I, it's like a puzzle for us on so many levels. And I feel like all these things you described, the Taggett Show to writing for Kevin Hart or and Kenan Thompson to, like, doing our own stuff on Night Court, being on the show, but maybe sort of tweaking the stuff that's been given to us by writing, like, some little things in between for us to do. it all, we love those moments. It's the only industry ever where we're like, give us more work.
Please give us work.
Give us the work and we will do it. And nothing is too difficult. And, you know, what we learned is, okay, networks will say, so we're writing this show, the Kevin Hart, Kenan Thompson show. We did the Olympics highlight show that they did 8 episodes of this show during the Olympics, which, talk about pressure. We had to, like, really pump these shows out in the fortnight of the Olympics. And it was... we'd get network notes, and sometimes you'd say, well, what was that? Why was that? But we would never say that. We would just say, okay, let's come up with something else. Like, we've got it. You got to believe in yourself, and then you can do it. And
that's
we came up with some great stuff. I mean, the bit that we did on the Olympics show, Olympic highlight show on Peacock, was...
We come on so excited to tell them that there are brothers on the water polo team.
On the U.S. water polo team.
And they're like, we got brothers on the water polo team? We're like, yeah, we got brothers
on the water polo
team. One of them's from Long Beach. He's like, LBC, we're doing it. And then we say, who is it? What are their names? And it's like the
Chase and
two of the whitest guys you've ever seen in the world on the water polo team. And they're like, oh, man, I thought you said brothers. We're like, oh, no. We were saying we were doing brothers.
You were saying brothers.
Are we allowed to say a hard R, brothers?
I don't think we can, brothers.
So, like, that was the bit. So fun. We got on. We improvised with them. We had so much fun doing it. And we were like, oh, right. This is what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Right. It just when it feels right, it's like, you know, it's like a nice, it's like slipping your hand into an old baseball glove that's like literally that's been worn and it works perfectly.
So I met your lovely mom. She's
she's there hanging out.
Did you grow up in a funny family?
Dad was funny. Really, really funny. May he rest in peace. He was, but not in the same way that like, he would just make people laugh, and he was just goofy in that way. And our mom was a great laugher, phenomenal laugher. She always loves to laugh, so
she never discouraged us being funny.
If you can get her going, that was like kind of what everything at dinner would be like. How can we get mom going? And now I've got my kids, and they're like, comedy is like currency in my family.
Yes. Oh, your kids are hilarious.
They're funny. My oldest daughter is like, she's at Michigan. She's in the improv group at Michigan, the longest running improv group in Michigan. So she gets it, and she's wonderful. And we got to
host the pep rally for Michigan's national championship game in Houston. We did it at Rice University in front of 5,000 people. Talk about like someone stepping into the fire. His daughter came on
the stage,
which was the middle of the gym in front of 5,000 people.
So we go to the Rose Bowl, which, I mean, as a sports fan, sports fans, that is
top of the mountain.
Top of the mountain, because
and that Rose Bowl of all Rose Bowls,
Michigan, Alabama,
to send Nick Saban into retirement, to come back after being down on a fourth down play that led to the drive, to then take it to overtime and win in overtime on basically the equivalent of a walk off home run, which was a stop.
So that's happening right in front of us. We're losing our minds. We walk out of the stadium. And it's me. Were you with us?
I was not with you.
So I'm walking out of the stadium with my wife and my two daughters and a friend of ours who's like writes for the Michigan MGO blog, which is like the best blog about Michigan sports. And we're walking to our friend's car on the golf course that surrounds the Rose Bowl, and we're elated, like we're just so happy, like we're walking. I can't even feel my feet touching the ground. And we just see a commotion to our left, and there's an older gentleman on his hands and knees. And we're like, did he just get knocked out? Did he just pass out? Like, what just happened? And by the way, he's an Alabama fan. He's wearing an Alabama golf shirt. All these Alabama friends are just walking past him. And we're like, we got to go help this guy. We don't care. I don't care that he's an Alabama fan. Let's go over and see how he's doing. We went to go pick him up. And I put my hands under, like, his armpit till I pick him up.
He felt no bones.
Right. It was all alcohol and jelly. I mean, I was like, first of all, he was so drunk. I'm like, is this guy 60 or 80? I can't even tell his age. He was that drunk. And we're like, what? Where are your friends, man? Can you give us your phone? So at least
he's like, call Denny or call whatever. So Randy opens his phone and it's like the oldest guy
the font. Like the font is so big. It's like
one letter per line.
D-E-N. All right. So we call his friends. We're like, come get your boy. He's over by balloon number 2. You got to get him. And then he was standing there. We're like, we don't know what to do with him. We want to get out of there.
Yeah.
But we also don't want to just drop him. So we're like, what do you want to
Where do you want to go? He's like, over there.
We're like, where? There's like nowhere to sit down. He's like, right over there. We're like, by the trash can? There were like bags of trash around the can. He wanted to lay down because it looked comfortable.
In the garbage.
So it was not lost on me, the irony, that after we beat the Alabama Crimson Tide, my two daughters, my wife and I and my friend
put an Alabama fan in the trash.
Literally, the definition of white trash.
He's
in the trash.
So he immediately, when we lay him down, he goes to sleep. Like, immediately passes out. And then 3 seconds later, wakes up like he's been in a coma for 10 years.
Who's the president?
Right? I'm like, hey, same person. Whatever. And he starts to get up like he's going to try and get up. And then this is my daughter. My daughter is at Michigan, Daisy. Why she's so funny.
She quotes
this thing.
She quotes like the thing that's over the Michigan locker room.
She said, "No, sir, you stay because those who stay will be champions." I'm like, I love this kid.
And you couldn't be more proud if you were a doctor.
So that's how you feel.
She won a Nobel Prize.
Exactly. Like, that's how LeBron's dad feels when he makes one shot then goes back to the G League. You know what we're saying.
Oh, yes, I do.
You know.
Oh, yes,
so it was great. So it's like, that is, to answer your question, yes.
Yeah.
Comedy is like such a wonderful current.
It's the same in my family. I have a 19-year-old daughter and a 29-year-old son. And we talk to each other the way you two are talking to each
That's
other it. Now.
That's right.
The way twins talk.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
And people always say, like, when you're around, if you're in the room with the Glovers, it's a quick, mean room.
Right? I love it. Better jump in. It's double dutch. And they'll go fast, and they'll whip you with the jump ropes.
Left behind.
Yeah, oh, that's so good. I love it.
Isn't it great, though, when you have that, and you have such pride? And I'm not even kidding. Phoebe thinks she's heading to law school. But if she were to get into the improv group, I would be more proud than if she got into law school.
Of course.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's wonderful, and you just want them to be happy doing the thing, and knowing that this is, look, it's a rough business, it's very difficult, it's hard to make things.
Yeah.
Well, people come to send us their kids all the time, calling us up, hey, my son's moving to Hollywood or whatever, at California or New York, wants to get into the business, like, can you talk to him? And we always talk to him, we always take the time to talk to people. What we tell every single person is, you gotta fight as hard as you can. Fight like hell for what you want. But the biggest amount of work you should do at the beginning is redefining what your definition of success is. Mm-hmm. Your definition of success should be not, I want to be the next Jerry Seinfeld, or I want to be the next whoever. Like,
you can want
those things, but your goals, those can be dreams, but your goals should be, I want to get paid to be creative. That's it.
Yeah.
That is it.
Whatever that means.
You guys get to sit on the radio and you get paid for your ideas, for your conversation, for your entertainment, for your talking. We get to go on stages and do this. And then we also get to go in a room and write stuff. And then we also get to be on TV in acting roles. We take whatever the work is, whatever it is. If we get to another day where we get to continue to support ourselves on being created, we did it. We succeeded.
I agree. My son is very funny. He's a musician like me. Mm-hmm. I've played in bands forever. And when he was 16, 17, he started making noise about doing it professionally. And one of the guys in my band, Jimmy Griffin, is the local rock star, El Monstero, mm-hmm. Celebration Day. And I told him, I said, look, just so you know, making it is Jimmy Griffin.
That's right.
It's not Bon Jovi.
Yeah. No.
That's a fluke. That's winning the lottery.
Right.
And he got it and decided to not go into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
because if your only expectation is it's either this or that, or this or nothing, then you don't quite understand. Like, working in this business and getting to do this,
it's working.
Treating it as the sort of privilege, the joy that we get to do this. I mean, we get to, someone always said this about us, like, we've done a ton of press today. And they're like, aren't you tired? Don't you? I'm like, no, I love this. I love this. We get to promote the fact that we're coming back to our hometown to this awesome venue tomorrow night and getting to do this big show.
And thanks to you guys, we're going to sell it out.
Yeah, I'm putting it on this show.
Let's do it right now. Let's give all the particulars about tomorrow night. So people who are familiar with you, they've never seen you live, what are they walking into?
Stand-up show. Our buddy Dean Del Rey, who lives in L.A., he's kind of an old rock and roll guy, played in bands and whatnot. Great comic.
Opens for Marc Maron. He's just like he headlines talented. Himself. He's great.
So he's our feature act. He's going to be amazing. And basically you go and you'll see great two-man comedy. I mean, there aren't teams that do it anymore. People ask us what's the best part about being a comedy team, and we say it's that we
get to split the money.
No, that's literally the worst.
Wheels, it's the worst.
But it's that we are trying to build something larger than the two of us on stage, and that's just not.
And because we're twins, it's different than any other comedy team. So people have likened some of our comedic styles and the way we talk to like the Beastie Boys when they overlap each other and come together and then split apart. Like when we watch the Beastie Boys and we grew up in that time frame.
Yeah, we did.
And you remember when they came out and were big. We're all kind of around the same age. So like when they came out, It was great. It was funny. We thought they were very funny. The other thing was there's a level of wish fulfillment when you watch them. You're like, I want to be in that group. Yeah. I want to be their friend. I want to be jumping in and having him back me up with this. And so people have said that when watching us.
Like, I wish I had a twin brother.
Or I wish I had someone I was. Or they'll say, that's how my wife and I tell a story.
Yeah.
That's how my brother and I talk. That's how we did it. So there is like this vibe of like joy. Our comedy is not mean, and yet it's not dirty, but it's edgy. It's, you know, it's fun. It's about our lives,
about our kids, about parenting. So it's very relatable to us. This is probably the most relatable set of comedy we've ever had. And
this is the first time we've been coming out of shows and people who are parents of kids at any level are like, you just spoke directly to me.
That's great.
And so that feels very good. And we still do it in our sort of Beastie Boys-y style, yeah, which is this sort of rapify. Someone said also told us that when watching us do comedy, it feels like they're listening to a podcast at 1.5 speed.
Yeah. That's great to say. Right?
Right?
You guys move when you're
move.
Going.
It's dense. It's loaded with jokes. And the tag it show tonight is the we love tags. If you say, can you do 3 tags for this joke? We're like, here's 6.
Boom.
And so that's how we work. And we operate, and so it ends up being this like really fun, power-packed show.
Do you guys want to hang for one more segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Any special way to get the tickets for the show?
So go to flyovercomedyfest.com, and you can see and get the tickets right there. And
Sheldon Theater tomorrow night, the 16th, 8 p.m.
Going to be a great show, and like there are those tickets are going. Like we said, we've done a ton of press today, so if you're interested. It come out. It's first of all, support this festival because it's amazing.
If you're in St. Louis and you support the arts, if you're a listener to this show, my guess is that you go see music or you go see comedy, you go see theater and stuff. Like, you should support this festival because the bigger it gets, the better comedy starts coming to St. Louis, the more and more good things like this happen.
Nice. Welcome back, guys. DGS. We're here with Randy and Jason Sklar. They're going to be at Hot Java Bar tonight in the Grove, 10 p.m. Tomorrow night is the big show at the Sheldon, 8 p.m. Go for the boys, obviously, and their featured performer, but go for the room. My Lord, the Sheldon is just unbelievable. It's gorgeous. It's St. Louis history. It's a great part of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So go out for that. I know your background comedically and performatively. I don't know anything pre that. Did you almost do other jobs?
No. Oh, yeah. I mean, kind of. I mean, we've worked a lot of jobs. So we grew up in St. Louis, grew up in West County and
Crevecoeur,
which
best French pronunciation of those two words ever.
makes it proud.
I mean, you know, the whole description of like the whole how the name came was like on the inside of a McDonald's.
On the wall of the McDonald's, there was a description like one, I think, like white
soldier fell in love with an Indian, a Native American woman, and then she realized he couldn't be with her.
She couldn't be with him, and so she jumped off a cliff. We're like, you know, the cliffs of St. Louis.
Yeah.
Like the White Cliffs of Dover, they're the cliffs of St. Louis.
Be careful of those.
Right. Get a high ankle sprain? Or
Maplewood alone.
Right, exactly.
So she jumped off a cliff, she died, and then he died of a broken heart.
Or vice versa, whatever.
Crevecoeur, whatever it is.
So that's what it became. So that's where we grew up.
But and like, that's on the wall of McDonald's. That's why your mom's like, read that while we wait for your Big Mac.
So
now it's an unhappy meal.
Right. So we worked everywhere. Like, we worked at Venture. We worked at, we worked at the Clark gas stations, full-service gas stations over. I worked by Stroud's. Or it was Straub's.
Straub's in Clayton, and I was around the corner by the IHOP over
They wouldn't let us work at the same full-service gas station because they're like, if I caught him stealing gas, that I wouldn't report it. They thought, like, blood was thicker than gas.
So we did all kinds of jobs. We almost went to law school. We applied to law schools, got in, because at the time we just didn't know if this would be able to be. We went to school, you know, it's like we didn't go from high school straight to doing this. We went to University of Michigan, which we loved, amazing experience, and we applied to law school. And then as we were getting close, we had been doing stand-up.
We don't want to do this.
Isn't that interesting? Because I went to law school first.
Yeah, and you're like, forget this.
Yeah.
So we avoided what you had to go through, and we said, I don't think we want to do this. And so we just went down the road of starting to do, you know, stand up in New York City, moved to New York City, a very difficult place to
make. Did you know anything about what you're getting into?
No, not a thing.
No. And so
not a single
thing. We had to learn on the job and learn on the fly, but we had this tremendous drive. We always thought that we were funny and had some sort of level of talent, but we just had to figure it out. And we went through ups and downs at the very beginning. There was a point in time where I'm like, we got to scrap everything that we've been doing up to this point. We wound up taking a sketch writing course in New York at this place called Chicago Dakota City Limits in New York. And the guy teaching the class, we're like, this guy's so funny. Like, he's so good.
We got super depressed. We're like, why is he teaching a class like
and not doing more
like
with
we
it?
May never be as funny as this guy, and this guy's just teaching a class at Chicago City Limits.
Well, that guy was Justin Stengel, and he and his brother Eric.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Eric wound up like a couple years later running the David Letterman show.
Mm-hmm. They became,
so
the, head
they became the head writers of, yeah. of the Letterman. And it's like,
then we were like, wait a second, we were right. He is funny. We knew he was funny. And maybe he, and he telling us that we were funny, him telling us that we were funny was like, okay, maybe we're on the right track. And so we went through, you know, the alternative comedy movement when it hit New York City in the 90s, which was a reaction to the stand up and the clubs changed things. And we kind of jumped at the ground floor there because we wanted to do comedy that was funny, that wasn't solely based on us being twins. We didn't want every joke to be about us being twins. And alternative comedy provided a venue for us.
Alternative comedy is like, if you make one joke about you being twins, no one's going to laugh at you.
Right.
You're going to look, you're going to be seen as kind of hacky, like a hacky comic.
And unless you're making fun of those jokes. So like, you had to twist it. So for us, it taught us how to work really hard to be funny and not lean on being twins. Make being twins part of who we are and how we to have
liver stuff.
Symbiosis, yes.
About 2 minutes left here. How much tomorrow is going to be local?
Oh, we'll do some local
stuff.
We'll
do some local stuff at the top. We have a lot of material. I mean, we grew up here, and like, we'll be speaking to, there'll be like friends of ours from high school there. So we'll be like speaking to the people of St. Louis who grew up the when we grew up, and just about St. Louis now. So there'll be a chunk of that at the top. And then like the rest is about our lives and our families and what we're going through. And I think it's very, like we said, very relatable, very fun, and it'll be a unique stand-up experience unlike any that you've seen.
Yeah, fantastic. So that tonight is at the Hot Java Bar, 10 p.m. in the Grove. I agree with you about the Grove. It's like the landing when we were young,
right?
And how great that used
That's
to be.
So cool.
Just going from place to place.
I mean, I saw Jimmy Cliff at Mississippi Nights back in like the late 80s, and he was probably on the downswing of like all this day. He was a huge reggae star, but to see him there, incredible.
I mean,
we saw Fish at the American Theater in 1994.
It's like I went to AJ's once at Adams Marks. My law firm was across the street.
Yeah.
And there was this band just killing Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. And I'm like, these guys are good. And he goes, oh, that's Survivor.
Oh, well, God.
I would
call them barely surviving.
On life supporter.
Tomorrow night at the Sheldon. Boys, what's the website one more time?
So flyovercomedyfest.com. You can look it up and find those tickets and get those. And like we said, they are moving. So if you want to come, we'd love to see you.
Let's do it.
All right. Thank you, boys.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You. Welcome back, guys. DGS 134. I always am totally honest with everybody about this kind of stuff. When we first started the interview with the Sklar brothers, their mics literally were broken. And, like, they didn't have headphones on, so they couldn't tell, thank God, because I would have been embarrassed. But I couldn't hear them. But we have this new board, and everything sounds weird.
Yeah.
And so I just thought, well, I hope it's going out over the air. And Andrew jumped in and, you know, saved the day and turned the mics back on. But, yeah, that sucks.
Wild.
Yeah.
It's funny how that works.
Uh-huh.
Because I was having the same thought in my head. I'm like, I wonder if it sounds the same way.
Funny that I can.
I was looking around at the grimace, like the half smile, half grimace that you all three had. Yeah. Like,
we're like looking around. I couldn't see Rach because the other side of it. I bet Rach was like, oh no.
Yeah, I almost texted you like, I am so sorry that they are potted all the way up and nothing is happening. No,
nice guys.
Yeah, they're the best. Nice. They're the best. They do. They never stop. Like, they always have something going. They're like, they're doing stand-up shows. They, you know, they come here. They're doing them out in L.A. They travel. They're writing on shows. The Kevin Hart show. They're going to be on Night Court. I mean, like, it's just never. They're doing their own. They do podcasts. I just did their podcast with them.
That's one thing I don't have. Like, I think if I had offers to do a bunch of things, I could do them. But as far as making things happen, I just saw someone, I think it was Carrot Top, for love of God, who was talking to Gene Simmons. And Gene Simmons says, how else do you make money? And Carrot Top's like, I don't. I'm a comedian. This is what I do. And he's like, you always have to have more ways of making money. I've never been that guy. I've thought about opening barbecue restaurants, but I've never thought like, oh, I need to take this and parlay it into that. Which is one reason I'm still here.
Yeah, they're great, man.
I mean, everyone's got their own different approach and level of.
Well, they also have twice the energy because there's two of them.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Wasn't it fascinating watching them just
interrupt
each other, but in a way that is totally fluid?
Yeah, it's like one person but two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't spent that much time around twins, so I'm always like soaking it in whenever people are doing stuff like that. I'm like, oh, it's like you're the same person, but not.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things about watch. I've seen them live a bunch of times, and every time it blows me away how good their timing is.
Yeah.
And you can just see it when they're talking, right? I mean, just the conversations, their timing is perfect when one jumps in for the other. Mm-hmm. And it's that's super impressive to me. It's kind of the, I don't know, it's harder than it looks, but they make it look easy.
Mm-hmm.
We usually, like, when normies do it, we just end up stepping on each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm fascinated by, you know, they say they do the tag thing, and if you want three tags, they'll give you six. I'm just so fascinated by, like, building that muscle up and just writing a joke super quickly. Like, that is so cool.
That's something I've always wanted to do, to do punch up. Like, to be brought in on a movie when they think the movie's done, and you watch the movie and you go, yeah, but what about this? What about that? That feels like something I could do and would have a lot of fun doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or punching up someone's stand-up or something like that. When I do the stand-up, I create it all from scratch, which is not easy. But if you were doing stand-up, Kev, and you gave me all your notes, that would be fun to go in and go, like, what if you did this bit into that bit? Nerdy, creative stuff, but really fun. Anyone staying up late to watch the fight tonight?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I think I'm going to end up doing it.
I just don't want to watch anything but that. Like,
you don't want to watch the lead up.
Yeah,
you're going to have to kind of check in and out because they've got, I think, at least two or three undercard fights. Oh, four undercard fights. So they probably won't fight till 9 or 10.
That's what I'm thinking.
Central time, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I hope it's not. I just hope it's not a huge letdown.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting the thrill in Manila, but I just don't want it to be scripted. I don't want it to be taking it easy on each other. Like, if you're going to have a sanctioned fight, have a sanctioned fight.
Yes. If it's, you know, regardless of how it goes, if it's just a real fight.
Yeah.
Did anyone see video of the slap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that seem? I didn't see video of it. I just saw headlines. Did that seem genuine? Did it seem?
It seemed like they had probably said, "Let's make something happen."
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I thought it looked a little staged, but our friend John Marisek, he's a wrestling guy. He said it's more of like a wrestling work. Like, they're just working the crowd a little bit, get people fired up. Because if you picture Mike Tyson throughout his life, does he strike you as a guy that his normal reaction would be to open hand slap you and then back up?
No.
No, but that's what he did. Yeah. And that's just like, that made me think, okay, this is probably just for show, which is fine, by the way. A lot of these little stare downs a lot of that stuff that you see for even like ranked fighters or MMA guys that are mad, you know, like legit mad at each other. They I wouldn't say they stage it, but they play that up too.
Mm-hmm.
That's not unusual.
Yeah. Okay. Good, good.
Who do you think's going to win?
No idea, because I don't know if it's going to be real.
I think Jake Paul's going to win.
I could see Tyson knocking him out pretty quick if it's real.
Yeah.
I don't think it's good. I think it's, I don't know. I don't know much about Jake Paul. I just feel like he only does this for his own reasons, and I feel like there's probably some sort of, that. Just my opinion, I feel like there's probably some sort of agreement.
Well, he's making $40 million to do it.
There you go.
No, you know, I mean, it's hard because if you wanted to do this, like, just, okay, we're going to assume it's a real fight. You've got two completely different fighters. You've got a younger, faster, more athletic, taller guy with longer arms, longer reach, who has a certain way that he could fight this fight and make it go in his direction. But he's never fought a real fighter before.
No.
He's fought MMA guys who aren't boxers, and he's fought kind of washed up people.
And Tyson looks good.
And Mike Tyson,
he looks really
good. The problem for him is he's being 58, being how many punches he's taken. You know, can he take a punch the way that he used to? Is he as quick in real life in the ring as he looks in those training videos? Because in the training videos, he looks real quick.
Yeah.
But we don't have him side by side next to another fighter to see how that looks. So what matters more, the youth, the endurance, the agility, or the experience of a guy that's been the best in the world?
Yes.
I mean, to me, that's what makes it fun if it's a real fight, is trying to answer that question.
Tyson makes me want to get back in the gym, but I'm kind of waiting to see if the world's going to end first. I don't want to get all yoked and six-pack and then have the world melt down.
You know, the other thing we don't
know, then you'd have to fight Jake Paul.
The only thing we don't know is whether or not Jake Paul can take a real punch. Like, because
hopefully we find out.
Because if I remember correctly, when he was doing his thing with Floyd Mayweather Jr., like, Floyd caught him and then had to hold him up, was like helping him stand and not go down, because that was just an exhibition. That wasn't a real fight. So, and Floyd doesn't hit like Tyson hits. Because one thing I bet Tyson still has is the punch.
I agree.
Yeah.
What if he bites the ear off again?
That would be amazing.
Did you see his little diamond thing he wore? Jake Paul?
No.
He had something made, and it's like a cuff, and it's a diamond
cuff. It goes over
the
ear.
Yeah, so he couldn't bite his ear off.
That's cute.
That's
a bit of a troll job.
That's fun.
Just two great guys, you know.
Just
at the end of the day,
real.
We all win. So.
Just two real winners.
What I really, 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 really hope is that, you know, because Mike's obviously been a long time since he's been a competitive fighter. I hope he gets popped once and it just wakes him up and he's like, oh, it's a fight. Let's go.
Exactly.
Because that's the thing. You don't know athletically how he's going to be, but we do know this. They've done a lot of things that benefit him. So it's a shorter round. It's only 2 minutes instead of three. It's only 8 rounds instead of 10 or 12. So those things are better for someone whose stamina might not be what a, you know, person half his age would be.
And I know now we're getting into the weeds on a Mike Tyson, a Jake Paul fight. But it just seems to me that it's, if a 27-year-old were to play one-on-one against a 58-year-old Michael Jordan, a normie 27-year-old, they'll get killed.
The equivalent of Jake Paul.
Yeah, they'll get schooled.
They would get whooped, yeah.
And I just think that, I agree with you, that if Tyson gets hit once and his instincts jump in, it wouldn't take too many combinations in the corner to put Jake Paul out.
Yeah, then the question is, how good is Jake Paul at playing to his own strengths? Can he? Because he's got to stay away from Tyson. Tyson doesn't have a long reach. He's a short guy for a heavyweight. He's going to have a disadvantage in that. So he's obviously going to do his game, right? His game has always been get inside, chop you down on the body, and then catch you in the face and knock you out. And if he can get inside on Jake, then it could be trouble. But if Jake's good at staying away, playing a little tag, you know, doing the jab game, then, you know,
so
he's got a chance.
So this may be the most watched fight of all time?
It might be, especially considering how many people, I mean, you don't pay extra for it.
Right.
Right. If you have Netflix, you have this fight, which is why it's going to draw huge numbers. Yeah, you see how much they're making. Jake Paul's making 40. I think Tyson's making 20.
Why is Tyson making less?
Because he's not as big a star right now.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Wow. Yes, this is happening because of how big a deal Jake Paul is.
If you could go back 30 years...
I know.
And say, like, so they're going to preempt President Trump. You're like, okay, first of all, back up. President Trump.
Okay, so it's called YouTube.
Yeah, he's a YouTuber.
Yeah. Could you imagine, like 25 years ago, and you're looking at Mike Tyson when he's 33, and you're in 25 years, you see that little 2-year-old baby, you're going to be fighting that guy.
You're going to fight that baby.
In front of maybe 100 million people.
This was one of the very first songs that made me want to play drums. Just really simple and straightforward, Peter Criss. So we're talking about Mike Tyson fighting a baby Jake Paul, and it made me think one of my weird Dave things. Nick and I do this all the time. Like, what if purgatory were this? Like, what if purgatory for you, Wheels, was 5 times a day you have to physically fight a 9-year-old?
God.
And you have to either knock them out or submit them, and you can't leave purgatory until you're defeated. But if you throw it, or if you take a day off, you go straight to hell. How long you think until a 9-year-old beats you up?
Do they get to learn the lessons over time and like get better, or they're the same every time?
9-year-olds.
Never. I mean, it's not really a big brag, though. Like, they're so small.
But how terrible would that be?
That would be the worst. Like, I don't want to fight a 9-year-old.
Right, if that were your purgatory, like, you show up, and St. Peter's like, this is going to get weird.
Wow.
I know you thought it was just a lot of sitting around and sweating. But
I mean, like, could you just press the down button, please?
Kevin's scared to fight a 9-year-old. Kevin's scared to fight a 9-year-old. Wow.
How old would you have to get until you're like, I could probably beat up 15-year-olds for 1,000 years.
What age of the person you're fighting?
Would you think they could eventually beat you?
I just depend. I mean, like, it depends on. We're just talking like just normal, average normies.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You got to think about these things.
Yeah.
You never know when it's going to pop up.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
I should think about that, like, fighting my mom. Like, I would have beaten her so badly.
You'd beat her for 1,000,000 years.
But, like, if she just, like, I hit her and she spins around and catches me with a backhand,
you never know. Yeah.
Hit me in the vagus nerve, you're down.
You'd be like...
Or she just goes all spider monkey.
You'd be on the floor saying, thank you.
Thank you, Mom. Congratulations. But then she's the new champ and she has to fight, like, turtles or something. Rach and I saw a strange thing even for downtown today. We were taking our little walk, and here came this lady pushing a baby in a baby carriage, and she just looked like she had the world by the tail, and gets up close to us, and she's like, hey there, how you doing? I'm like, I'm great, how are you? Oh, I'm just fine. And instead of a baby, she had a bucket of KFC.
In the stroller. That's better.
Yeah. And she was pushing it with care, wasn't she?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's as if someone had swapped out and taken her baby and she hadn't realized it yet.
I just love a bucket of chicken, man.
There's something about it.
It's like you could give me twice the amount of chicken in a box and I'm like, all right, this is nice. But when you get it in the bucket,
I remember the first time my dad brought home a legit bucket. Mm-hmm. And that was a big day.
Not better than a stupid baby.
Yeah, don't bring home a baby.
Yeah, seriously.
Let's have to fight it. What's going on with the sinkhole in Alton, by the way?
I have no idea. I haven't heard it. Is there news about it?
No, I saw the story today on TikTok, mm-hmm. like the original story, and I'm like, man, is that thing still just wide open?
I don't know how
you ever trust it.
Yeah, it's still there. I think enormous parts of the park are still closed. Because, you know, big hole in the middle of it
being a tragic story.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, any given day it could have happened.
Bunch of 9-year-olds out there playing soccer waiting to fight Wheeler.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you got...
For eternity.
You got 245, I got 215. Hey, soften them up for me, yeah?
God. I mean, somewhere that has gone wrong, right? It's happened. Like you get a sinkhole like that. I think I saw one in South America that was in the middle of an intersection.
Seems like a real sinkhole-y place.
Yeah.
I think about that when I'm driving downtown. There's all the potholes. Oh, yeah. I'm like, any one of these could turn into a sinkhole. Yeah.
And I've been down there. Like, I've seen like the sewer system and all that. Like if you just go down any manhole in downtown St. Louis, you are back to like the 1870s. It's that kind of construction. So yeah, that's a pretty good fear you've opened up for me. Thank you.
What you're saying is we shouldn't do anything to make that better. We should leave that.
No.
Just leave it.
Just sit on that money we got.
Yeah.
I think our girl Kara has just put together a new proposal where she's saying that the money that we have received from the Rams should be only invested, like not spent on the roads, not spent on the schools, but as an investment vehicle so that you
and
put
then
it
pull from those funds.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is probably the smart guy thing to do.
Somebody else proposed that too, and it may be where they may be working together on it. I forget it, but it was it might have been the Convention and Visitor Center. It might have been a larger group, but I think it was a group that also proposed that same idea.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.